Okay, let's begin. This week is Parshas Beshalach. Parshas Beshalach is Parshas Shira. It's a very special parsha. Let's discuss a few short ideas. Maybe we'll review some of the things we did in the past, because I do not have too much new material. Okay, let's see. First idea. Vayihi b'shalach paroi es ha'am. And we find Moshe Rabbeinu everyone is busy with Bizas Mitzrayim, borrowing kelim, zov, chesef, smolois, and Moshe Rabbeinu is busy with the Atzmos Yosef. Vayihi b'shalach paroi es ha'am v'lenochem lefnei chayes plishtim, vayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef imo. Moshe Rabbeinu went to seek out the bones of Yosef. That when you leave, you should take my bones with you. Okay? So, Moshe is occupying himself with the Atzmos Yosef when everyone else is busy with the Bizas, Bizas Mitzrayim. Borrowing from the Egyptians according to the command of Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal comment on this pasuk. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. Moshe Rabbeinu was the wise of heart, and he recognized that the ultimate Bizas Mitzrayim is Mitzvos, and that is why he went to find the bones of Yosef. Now there is a deeper insight into why Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu it was necessary to take with him the bones of Yosef. Akaras Satov, that Yosef was the one that sustained and brought everyone into Mitzrayim. Only because he was not Meshav the Kohan the Levim, he knew in advance that the set aside Goshen for Shevet Levi, they should be able to learn by also making a separation of church and state. He instituted this policy of separation of church and state in order to allow religious freedom. What? School vouchers. He was a real politician. He knew how to get everything through the government, and all for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. When it's good for the goyim, it's good for Klal Yisrael also. He knew how to set up a system with smila. He relocated everyone; no one should feel at home. He did a lot of good things in order to make Klal Yisrael, to camouflage the goyim of Klal Yisrael, to make it easy for them to survive. So, of course, out of Karstov he had to be, but also there was definitely a shvua. But the question is, why does it say in the pasuk, the Chazal tell us this expression chacham lev? The word chacham lev is a unique expression which indicates that there's something more to Moshe Rabbeinu. Taking the bones of Yosef. So one of the basic ideas that the Mefarshim try to bring out is the word Chacham in Pirkei Avos always refers to the concept of Ezehu Chacham Haroya Es Hanolat. Yosef knew, Moshe knew, that it's not going to be easy. We're going to encounter difficulties on the way, and we need something, a symbol. We need something to go in front of us as a symbol that will serve as an antidote to the difficulties that we will encounter. This is a Zeh Chochom Haroya Es Hanoilat. So what are the difficulties that they are going to encounter? So one of the ideas, I think Afudna develops this at length, is that when the Yam came to Kriyas Yam Sof, the Yam did not want to split. The Yam said, Halalu Oivdei Avodah Zara, Halalu Oivdei Avodah Zara. Ma Rav Ayonos, Hayom Rav Ayonos, it saw the Atzmos Yosef. What's unique about the Atzmos Yosef? Shafudu explains, Yosef was the one that was Omen in the sign of Eshes Potifar. Being Omen in the sign of Eshes Potifar is the Koach that Yosef gave Klal Yisrael not to basically assimilation, intermarriage. Even though, unfortunately, in America, intermarriage is up to 70%, something like that. But as a whole, Klal Yisrael, the Netzach Yisrael, Lo Yishaker, there will always be in Klal Yisrael a nucleus of people that will be oimed throughout the entire history of Vayonos, Vayetze HaChutza. Why is that critical? Because a child's child status depends upon the mother. If the mother is Jewish, the child is Jewish. If the mother is not Jewish, the child is not Jewish. Theoretically, a Klal Yisrael would assimilate to a degree, a very high degree, that there would no longer be a Klal Yisrael. There would no longer be a Klal Yisrael, then why should the Yam split and allow a nation to emerge when it's only temporary? How much longer can Klal Yisrael survive in Galus? They're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. There's going to be the Sionos of the Canaanim. They're going to go into Galus, and they're going to go in Bavel, in the entire world. There is no guarantee that Klal Yisrael will remain Klal Yisrael due to the great Yetzirah of intermarriage. But when the Aron saw the Atzmos Yosef, the person that put into Klal Yisrael a koyach vayonos vayetze hachutza, which is a guarantee that there will always be a Klal Yisrael, then the Yam recognized there will always be a future, and that's why it's split. This is an idea. What? Ra. Ma, hayom roho vayonos. Ma roho. Aroinoi shel Yosef. What's Aroinoi shel Yosef? The kolach that there will always be a Klal Yisrael. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishake. This is the vart from the way Rapunu understands this medrash of Chacham Levi Yachmitzos. Now along that line, same idea. There are other ideas. Yosef. If I'm not mistaken, there are only two people in the entire Klal Yisrael that told Klal Yisrael, two leaders, don't be afraid. Who are the two people who told not to be afraid? Maybe I'm making a mistake. I'm just guessing. Moshe and Yosef. Moshe said when they came to the Mitzrayim, Vayomer, when the Egyptians started chasing after Klal Yisrael, Vayomer Moshe El Ha'om, Al Tirohu. Don't be afraid. Hisyatzu uru'u es Yeshuas Hashem asher yaseh lochem hayom. Ki asher isem Mitzrayim hayom, lo yisasifu l'raysam od ad alam Hashem yilochem lochem yatem tacharishun. Who else told Klal Yisrael not to be afraid? Yosef. V'atem al Tisro. Let's go back to Parshas, end of Parshas Vayichi. After Yaakov Avinu died, the brothers were afraid that now he will take revenge for what they had done to him. Vayom aleim Yosef al Tirou, ki asachas elokim oni ve'atem chashavtem ala ro'a elokim chashav ala toivah l'man asok hayom zeh lachis amarav and nochamal ve'ata al Tirohu anochi achalkel eschem v'yestabchem v'yinachem o'yisam v'yedaber al Libon. He comforted them. Yosef represented in their eyes a koyach of not being afraid. The shift they call were these 12 brothers. They were living in a very difficult matzav. Yaakov Avinu died. They're here living on Admas Nechar, foreign land. They're subject to the goodwill of Paro, an evil king. They're terrified. Who is the one that taught Klal Yisrael? Al Tirohu. Who is the one that put this need into the shiftei kah? Yosef. Vayinachem Oysam. Vayidaber Alibam. He did this. You can't deny. 210 years later, certainly all the children, the grandchildren, they all remembered. Yosef, he always told us, Zayda told us, Al Tirohu. Moshe, Chacham Lev, we're going into the desert. We're going into a very difficult situation. They're going to be snakes and scorpions. They're going to be Egyptians. It's going to be who knows what. The most important thing is, don't be afraid. There's a famous song. What's the famous song? Aaron Fried always sings it. Kol ha'olam kula. Gesher tzar ma'od. How does it go to start? Kol ha'olam kula. Gesher tzar ma'od. The entire world is a narrow bridge. V'ho ikar. Lo lefached od. Not to be afraid at all. Not to be afraid. I think it comes from Rav Nachman. And it's Rav Nachman. It's a Breslov of art. A line. And that expression is one of the most popular songs in Klal Yisrael. It's not for nothing that expression is Hashkacha Pratis, because that's the Ikar. V'ho Ikar loy lefached od. Don't be afraid. That's essential. Who's the one that taught us that concept? Yosef. Who's the one that we echoed that concept? Moshe. And what is Moshe? Moshe uses symbols. Moshe was a very powerful political leader. I'm not giving you words. Moshe, actions. Here's Yosef. He taught us this. We survived with Yosef. Al-Tira, Al-Tifchanov for 210 years. No? So we can go weiter. We can, you know, don't be afraid. I think that's a very important lesson. That's the Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is going to be the ultimate weapon, the symbol of do not be afraid. That's, we don't appreciate how much that how important that is. You know, unfortunately, today when there's so many things that you do hear a lot about this in Eretz Yisrael. People who live through terror, even living in America, there are terrible things that are going on. People are just afraid. And the Ikar, Vicho Ikar, Loy Lefachirot. So this is a very important yisod in this week's parasha with Atzmos Yosef and Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Tirohu, and we use Yosef as a reminder in that regard. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this idea is not a complete idea. What I'm telling you is total nonsense, but at least the Targum Yonasan and Azil is interesting. I don't have a Targum Yonasan and Azil here with me, but I have to look it up, make sure what I'm saying is correct. Let me elaborate. Paro vayi b'shalach paro esam v'loy nocham alukim derech eretz polishim kikur avuk. Fine. We go further. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor daber el bnei Yisrael v'yashuva. Hashem says to Moshe, tell Klal Yisrael v'yashuv, they should go backwards. V'yachanu lefnei piachiros. Be'in milvein ayom. Lefnei ba'al tzafon v'nichos sachna layom. Fine. And I want you to go backwards. I want you to return. I want you to position yourself right in front of an avodah zara. And all of this is being done by design to mislead Paro. Paro, look what's going on. They're going backwards. They're encamping by in front of an idol. It must be that they're worshipping this idol. These people, they're all confused. V'omar Paro, this is the critical pasuk. Paro will say, Livne Yisrael, to the Jewish people, Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, you're confused, you're bewildered. Sogar aleim hamidbar, the desert is trapping you. You're enclosed, you don't know where to go. Now if we translate this pasuk literally, and you put this pasuk in the 21st century, it would be, you would say that Paro gets on his cell phone, takes out his cell phone, and he calls up Moshe Rabbeinu, or he calls up one of his people that he knows, and he says, I hear you're lost. You told me you're going out for 3 days, and you're going to come back, and you're coming back, you're going in circles. I hear you got problems. So Paro is going to speak directly Livne Yisrael, is that what it means? Livne Lamed means two. He's going to send messengers. You got a problem? You left? You lost? You're going back and forth? You're worshipping idols? What's going on over here? Either he'll call them up, he'll send messengers, he's going to communicate directly with the people. Rashi says that can't be, because Paro is not communicating with Klal Yisrael.
Sorry, the rest of the passage, Nebuchim Haim, changing if he's talking directly.
He's talking directly. Okay, it's another grammatical difficulty with the pasuk, but that doesn't. But still, the word L is still problematic. So we've got a problem here in the structure of this pasuk. So Rashi and Targum Unkelis come to the rescue, and they tell us biblical Hebrew is not so simple. You have to know how to translate the psukim according to a different set of rules. And when it says here livne does not mean towards. Directly to, it means concerning. Who will Paro speak to? He'll speak to his cabinet. He'll speak to his advisors. He'll speak to his people. He'll get up in front of the whole Egypt and say, you know, we lent them all this money and they brought this destruction upon us. And now, look at them. They're confused. They're lost. They're going in circles. Paro will say concerning the Jewish people, they're lost. And now is our chance. Let's take revenge. Let's chase after them. Let's destroy them. Okay? This is how Rashi and Unkel say. I read the words of Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey, it says, "Vayugal leMitzrayim." Pasuk Gimel, "V'yama Paro kishiyishma Hashem shav melachodeim livnei al bnei Yisrael v'chein Hashem yilochim lochem aleichem." Fine. This is what it says. Tag Mungulis Ben Uziel says it's not the Pshan the Pasuk. The Pshan the Pasuk taken literally, El means mamish towards who? To two people who didn't leave Egypt. Who chose not to leave Egypt, and we have right to assume that if they didn't leave Egypt, they had a following, they had a fan club, that all their followers on Facebook also stuck it out with them. Who were they? Dasan Va'aviram. Dasan Va'aviram are always looking for trouble. Dasan Va'aviram were the ones that were the cause of Moshe Rabbeinu fleeing. They were fighting, and then the one, then when Moshe said, "Lama sakereyacha," they said, "Moshe, you're going to kill me like you killed the Mitzri." Oh, chaynoida hadavar. Moshe had to flee. And then when it says that Yere Hashem, when Moshe tried to lighten the load of work and it backfired, who's the one that led the campaign to get rid of? Yere Hashem, the Yishpoit Shafoit Asher, you made it even worse. They're the ones who are always trying to delegitimize. And then when it comes to this week's Parashah B'Shu, when it comes to the man, who's the one that wanted to undermine Moshe? Dasan Avim, they took the man from Friday, put out on Shabbos. You see, Moshe Abeinu, he's a bada, he's a liar. When Korach called for Moshe's ouster, who's the first one to join the ticket? Who's the one? Dasan Avim. Gams Harvoyna Zoch. They're always there. Dasan v'Aviram, always looking for trouble. Now, the truth is, Dasan v'Aviram, the big question is, why didn't they die? The Chamush, the frightening pasuk in here, the Chamush, Rashi says that four fifths of the Jewish people, they died during the Choshech. So why then didn't Dasan v'Aviram die? What's going on with Dasan v'Aviram? So there are different answers. The one answer, what? They had a muna. Oh, so that there are different answers. One answer is they had schosim. They had certain schosim. There's no, everything in this world is gray matter. No such thing as black and white. The Rishon were they were pure black. But Dasan were a complex mix. They weren't such simple people. One answer was that Hashem, when Hashem saw all the children die, being thrown into the Nile, Moshe complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe was thrown to the Nile. When he saw the Sheba, they were being put into bricks. The kids put into bricks. So Moshe complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Golu v'yidu l'fon, it's like a ben saramara. All these children that are dying, they would not turn out good. And Hashem said to Moshe, I challenge you, pick any two you want, and I'll let them live all the way out to the very end. And Moshe picked out two children from the bricks, and they miraculously survived, and they turned into Dasan v'Aviram, and they were always a thorn in the side of Moshe Rabbeinu. Michal is also one? Could be, I don't know. Okay, so there are different answers to this question. But I saw, where did I see this? I think I saw this in the Sefer by Rav Klein, Sefer Alei Higayon, where he develops an idea where Dasan v'Aviram were very complicated people. In other words, let me give you an example. It's Stokim. Okay, we know that during the time of the Bayis Shen, there was a good, the Baitosim and the Tzedokim. I once heard from Yochanan Zweig, the Rashiv in Florida, very, very big Talmud Chacham, very big Baal Machshav. You ask the average person today, what were the Tzedokim like? What was their agenda? So the average person in the 21st century will tell you, oh, they're like the Reform, they're like conservative. If you want to be really controversial, you'll say they're like open orthodoxy. they'll say the fringe. The fringe, they're not mainstream. They deny Torah Shebaal Peh, they deny Mesorah, they deny tradition, and they're coming to make trouble. That's the impression you get when you go through Chazal. They're people to the left. So he presented this incredible art thesis, is that the Tzedokim were really what we would call the Naturei Karta today. They, the Tzedokim, were extremists to the right. That's not the impression you get when you read Chazal. I once told this to Talmud Chacham, no, I once told someone, he completely rejected this. He says, doesn't make one bit of this idea he held was completely wrong, but just bring out the idea. I wonder when Dachsam Vaviram. The Tzedokim were very religious. In fact, they were too religious. They held on to the Torah. They were more machmir. They did things that were more extreme.
They didn't let you add anything to the Torah.
This
is what we got.
When we look today at the conservative and the reform, we look at conservative reform, the thrust, 99% of what they're doing is they're taking away from the Torah. They're also adding things, but what they're adding is so insignificant it gets lost in whatever they make, whatever they do. But it gets lost, whatever innovations they are coming, which is also corrupt, gets completely lost in the enormous amount of things that they have taken away. Correct? That's really what you get from conservative reform. That Tzedokim did not take away anything. That's how Rabbi Yochanan Zweig, this was his idea. They didn't take away. Maybe they did take away, but that wasn't the ikar. The ikar was they were changing. They were changing the derech of Klal Yisrael in a different way, not by taking away, but by altering how things are done. It wasn't a matter of removal. Dosam vaviram, in that respect, some want to suggest, were also like, dosam weren't just outright rishon. Everything they did was with a cheshbon. It was a krum cheshbon, but people who are very, very vulnerable and very, very, people that are very, that are vulnerable, susceptible to this type of convincing, you know, maybe Dasam Vim are right. For example, why didn't they leave Mitzrayim Dasam Vavim? Well, they said it's too early to go. The Bris Ben Habsarim. There's the Bris Ben Habsarim Vavodim V'ino Yoyosam Arba Meoshana. How are you going to argue with that? Ephraim went out 30 years early. They went out 30 years early. So they go and they say, it went out. So how are you going to argue with that? Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's time to go. But they say, what do you mean? Everyone knows. Feresh HaPasek, V'avad V'ino Yosem Arba Meyoshana. What are you doing, Moshe Rabbeinu? Take the Pasek literally. What gives you the right? It's from the time of Leidas Yitzchak. What kind of way? If someone would try to convince us of this, we wouldn't go for this. They had some very powerful religious arguments. They weren't just Stam Rishoyim, Parkeol. They had...
You can see this because they weren't part of the Egil.
What?
They were not part of the Egil. So they were Mamina.
All right, okay, I don't know, but you have to analyze...
If there was trouble, they were...
They're trouble, but that's why they survived, because they were very clever. They were very clever, and they were a thorn in the side of Moshe, because they undermined Moshe Rabbeinu. And Klal Yisrael, we have two enemies. We have enemies from without, and one from within. We have the Goyim that are trying to destroy us, and we have, unfortunately, our own, who undermine us even greater than the Goyim. It's in Shemona Esrei, there's a whole bracha devoted to the enemy within, and there's no bracha that's devoted to the enemy
without.
That says everything. The bracha of Lam Al Shinim, we're praying to Hashem to get rid of our own and our internal enemies, and the external enemies that we're not even mentioning. That says quite a bit. Dasam Vaviram undermined, and they were not from without. If they were happy karsim and they denied everything and they were just troublemakers, they would have died in the Mechoshech. They were complicated people, and we have to assume they had a following, and they didn't leave. And Paro, this is how he says that thing, what it says in Sefer Alei Goyon, was looking at Moshe Rabbeinu, but was also looking at other Jewish leaders, like today Obama. Obama, when he looks to the Jew, Obama doesn't know from Yados, he knows an Orthodox Jew. It's not shaykh that the secular world really understands that Orthodox Jewry is the real thing. It's not shaykh. They look at the Jewish people. It's an ethnic group. There are Jews. There are extremists. So there's the Orthodox, there's conservative, there's reform. Or you want to be good, you make a Hanukkah party, you got to invite everyone, you got to invite someone from the Open Orthodox movement, you got to invite someone from the Orthodox, you got to invite a Lubavitcher, a conservative, it's all the same. You can blame him. It's not shaykh. It's not shaykh for a non, someone that's not affiliated to really understand that the real deal is, the real deal is. You can't access. So Paro likewise. Paro looks at the Jewish people. He looks at Moshe. And Moshe, there are other candidates. We look at the Torah, we're brainwashed. Moshe Rabbeinu. There's nothing but Moshe Rabbeinu. But look at Klal Yisrael from the perspective of Paro. Paro, there's the Jewish, this is an ethnic group who are slaves, and they're rebelling. They want freedom, they want liberty, and they have different leaders. There's a Moshe, and there's an Aaron. Oh, they paired up. They're on the same ticket. Aaron and Moshe on the same ticket. And then there's a Dasam Vaviram. It's a different group. There's the Bayit Yehud, there's all these political parties, Likud, and Labor, and you go over the whole long list of names, all the different parties. So there's Dasam Vaviram, and then there's a Korach that was lurking in the background, and there was another one, all the many parties. So Paro was wondering who really, who has their finger on the pulse, Who's the real representative of these people? So Moshe Rabbeinu was not so successful. Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot of trouble. And Dosan Vavim, Yera Hashem. He was like two political parties at each other's throats. Look at you, Moshe. Look what you made a rule for Klal Yisrael. You don't think Pyro took notice that Dosan Vavim said to Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem should punish you and judge you for what you've done to us? There's something going on. So now when it came time to leave, Moshe Rabbeinu left with 600,000 people. Millions died. They died in the Choshech. We have to assume, we don't know the numbers, but we know one thing for sure, Dosam Va'aviram did not leave. Dosam Va'aviram stayed. And if Dosam Va'aviram stayed, they must have had a large group that followed in their ways. So according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, when Paro got word, Moshe left, and Moshe, they're going in circles, Paro says, so you know who's the true representative of the Jewish people? Dosam Va'aviram, the Amar Paro, Livnei Yisrael. Who's the real Bnei Yisrael? Bnei is plural. Plural is dosam va'nisatagimus and uzil. The Amar Paparo will say livnesol nevuchim heim ba'aretz sagar alehem hamidbar. You're the real people. It's not only that the 600,000 people that went with Moshe Rabbeinu they're lost and they're bewildered. You know what we're going to do? We're going to bring them back. And we're going to make you, Dosan Va'aviram, we're going to appoint you to be the political leaders of this ethnic group. Because I can now see from observing who really knows what's going on. You didn't leave and they left and you... So that's how he tied it to the word Livnei to be taken literally. V'yamar Paro, Livnei Yisrael Nevuchim Heim Ba'aretz, Paro will say to Livnei, to Dosan Va'aviram, that their loss, Sagar Aleim Hamibar, and that basically means that Paro is going to acknowledge that Dosan Va'aviram is going to be the political leaders of Klal Yisrael. It's very...
Also, he believed that Moshe said 3 days, so they'll be back in 3 days.
And they're not coming back in 3 days, more than 3 days. So here we have, you know, now with this idea in mind, this argument is the point I just want to make is it completely changes the dynamics of everything that's happening here in this pasuk. When you take the argument of Yonasan ben Uzziel, it's not just that Paro will say, will talk. It means Dosan Va'aviram now, Moshe, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to do something now that's going to undermine you. Not just that Paro is going to want to chase after you. Paro is going to have no respect for your leadership, and Paro is going to focus on the new candidate, on the new future leader. In the news now, Obama doesn't want to meet with Netanyahu. Why? Because Obama's hoping, as they say, is that Netanyahu should lose the elections, and he doesn't want to give any cover to Netanyahu. Netanyahu should have covered. So I'm not going to meet. I don't want to get involved in the elections. I want to stay out of the elections. Here, according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to do something now that's going to make trouble for you two ways. Number one, Paro is going to chase after you, which is going to be a tsar in itself. But number two, Paro is not going to have respect for you. Because until now, what was the last thing we learned about Moshe Rabbeinu in the previous parasha? Moshe was gadol b'enei Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu, right before Yitzias Mitzrayim, achieved a state of honor and respect in Paro's eyes and in the eyes of the entire. That pasuk has much more. So they respected Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, very good. They respect him. It's more than that. When you understand that what was going on behind the scenes is that there's a power struggle. Who really represents Klal Yisrael? Does Moshe represent Klal Yisrael? Or does Dosan Va'aviram represent Klal Yisrael? Is it labor? Or is it Likud? Likud, it's the same type of idea. Now we know, of course, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. But look at it from the perspective of Paro. So it says in last week's Parsha, no one can hold a candle to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was acknowledged, hands down, the leader of Klal Yisrael, and what he says, he represents Torah Jewry. And now Hashem is saying, listen, it's not over yet. There's a lot more that has to happen. Number one, I want you to go backwards, and that's going to cause many things. There's going to be a whole cascade of things that are going to result. Number one, they're going to say that you went off the derech, literally and figuratively. You're worshiping idols. Number two, guess what? You're not going to have any respect in government. They're not going to. You're not a player anymore. The new player is going to be Dasan Vaviram. They're going to drag you back to Egypt, and they're going to put you in prison, and the new leader is going to be the Apikores, Dasan Vaviram. They're going to lead Klal Yisrael. And that's going to trickle down on your influence on Klal Yisrael. Okay, then one last point, and I think this is interesting, it's very true today for leadership today is, Moshe Rabbeinu goes on, V'chizak, Hashem goes on and says, again, this going to the Mahalach of the Yom, then you have to follow through the Targum of Zil, V'chizak, Diyas Leper, V'radav Achim, I'm going to stretch him, he's going to run after you, V'kav the Befaro, U'v'chol Chelo, V'yadu Mitzrayim, Ki'ani Hashem, V'yasuchim. What does the Pasuk have to conclude that the Egyptians will know Ki'ani Hashem? Why? Why? If the pasuk would not say these words, "V'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem," that's not necessary. V'kavda, I'm going to strengthen Pharaoh's heart. He's going to chase after you. He's going to die. He's going to drown. V'kavda b'Pharo v'chol chelo. I'm going to receive honor through the death of Pharaoh, through what happens to him in v'chol chelo. And then v'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. According to the Targum Yonasan and Uzziel, there's something very, very significant that it says here. After everything is said and done, when Hashem says Moshe, when the whole story unfolds, you're still not going to win with Dasan Va'aviram. With Paro, you'll win. But you'll never win with your own people. And that's very true in the Jewish world. In the Jewish world, when Klal Yisrael, to all the major success that Klal Yisrael had in the world, political successes, the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War, and we'll talk about Entebbe, right? When they rescued the Hajj and the Tabi, the whole world comes to bow down to Klal Yisrael. Mi chaloicha. Who can pull this off? Who can go a little teeny nation and can conquer the entire world? Though you can achieve success in this world, in Klal Yisrael as a nation, can accomplish things that the Umos Ha'olam will say, we acknowledge there's no one in the world like you. But the mitzias of this world, myself a similar bottom, our own internal enemies, people who are leading people off the derech, conservative, reform, and people in that mahalich, you'll never convince them. No matter what happens, no matter how successful you are in your goals, won't make a difference. It won't make a dent. That's the nature. That's the nature why we're mispalav v'lam al shim al tisikva, and there's no tefillah for the goyim. The goyim, you don't even mispalav. Memela, the goyim will come away. Yeah. What? What?
Because by the goyim,
yeah,
a lot of them get it.
They get it.
Whereas,
unfortunately,
don't get it.
Because since we're so close to ourselves, those who go astray to an extreme, they'll never get it. And whatever you'll show, you'll prove to them the authenticity and the emes of Torah, it's just not going to make a dent in them. They'll always spin it in a negative way. Certain newspapers, certain mahalchim, no matter what they'll see, no matter what Kiddush Hashem, a clear Kiddush Hashem in a certain community, something happens, and you have a certain type of newspaper, they'll never, ever put a positive spin on it. They'll always sakrum it and look to undermine it. This is really what the Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel says. The Omar Paro Livnei Yisrael. Pyro is going to talk to Dasan Vavirim. You're right. And then Pyro is going to chase after. And then it's going to be the Yad Hashem. Pyro will be destroyed with his whole nation. And when everything, all the dust settles, so who are our enemies when we started? Pyro aligns himself with Dasan Vavirim. They're joining forces. Our internal enemies are joining forces with our external enemies. They're joining V'yama Paro Bnei Yisrael Dasan Vavirim Targum Yonasan Ben Uzziel. They're joining forces, and then everything is going to unfold. All the events are going to unfold. And what's the end going to be? Who's going to acknowledge that they lost? Paro will acknowledge, but the Bnei Yisrael Dasan Vavirim, they'll never. And what's the Moser Haskel? Don't even try. Don't even try to convince. Just stay away. Don't even try to convince this segment of Klal Yisrael to come win them over to your side. The people who are willing to listen, of course, but the people that are not willing to listen, don't waste your time. You'll never win. Yeah.
Knew that they were going out for 3 days because no one shared with them that we're going out for keeps.
Not necessarily. We don't know that.
So when they saw that Paro ran after, they were the only guys who were left in Mitzrayim because all of Mitzrayim was running to the Yamsur. So they didn't want to stay. They wanted to.
How did they get there?
I'll tell you. They went afterwards. So in Oz Yoshe, at the end you say, Kibosus par barichoi parasha bayam, vayeshev Hashem aleim esmei yam, the waters destroyed them, v'nei yisrael holchu bayabosha.
Yeah.
It should have been the opposite. First holchu bayabosha, and then the... So there's a shot that this is the second...
The second Kriyas Yamsuf, Dosan Vaviram.
Dosan Vaviram came to the Yam,
yeah.
And the Yam saw Dosan Vaviram, and the Yam split open.
Right.
So the question becomes, were they stupid? They said to each other, hey, listen, you see the way the Yam came back over to Mitzrayim? It's open now, but the second we step in, it's going to come over us.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said to each other, no, we believe that eventually Hashem is going to take us to Israel. We're going. And since they had Amunah...
They had Amunah. They did have Amunah in Echadam. So they did have redeeming qualities. There's no question about it. That's why they survived. They were complicated Bria. Okay, so this is a fascinating to recap.
It's only
yeah.
Your remes, right? There's nothing yeah. I mean, explicit.
No, all the Targum Yonasim and Uzziel.
You're saying, are
this all Targum Yonasim and Uzziel says, when it says El B'nai Yisrael, it's referring specifically to, it says literally El B'nai, Livnei Yisrael. Livnei, Rashi says Livnei does not mean literally to, can mean to, it means Al. And Unkelus also translates it Al. But Targum Yonasim and Uzziel says Livnei means El. Who's El? And he says, El is Dosam Vaviram. Dosam Vaviram, what are they doing there? You have to understand that Dosam Vaviram was a political force. It's uncovering for us a whole new hidden dimension of what was taking place in Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and there's another political agenda. Dosam Vaviram, they were the shofim, they were the taskmasters, they were the ones that said to Moshe, Yera Hashem V'Yishpot. They were major players. And they were the ones that Paro was now, and there was a power struggle between Moshe and Dosan Avirim for the attention and the respect of Paro. In last week's parasha, it makes it very clear that right before Makas Bechoros, the one that achieves recognition and respect among all the political parties in Klal Yisrael was Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole Egypt says they are the real deal. And Dosan Avirim were on the back burner.
They were gone.
Dosan Avirim, but Dosan Avirim must have had a following. You have to make that assumption. They also had a following. There could be thousands of people. Who knows how many people that was part of their following? Dosan Vavim. And Pyro now sees, look, maybe Dosan Vavim, they're right. Because Moshe Rabbeinu and his people, they're lost in the Vuchim Baretz. So you know what? We're going to go out, we're going to bring them back, and we're going to enslave them under the authority of Dosan Vavim. That's a tremendous tzara. And the end was Dosan Vaviram at the last minute got cold feet. They joined Klal Yisrael to make more trouble, to fight another day, to make more trouble. And in the meantime, after everything was said and done, and Paro himself came to acknowledge the great miracles of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but only the Yadu Mitzrayim. Hashem says to Moshe, but with your own internal enemies, the Velam Al Shinim. Altahi Sikva. There's never hope. You'll never win with them. You'll never survive. There'll always be the trouble will always come.
That's also a Targum.
No, that's not Targum. That's what I'm trying to follow through.
It says Ki Hashem Amrucha Moshe Bagoyim. Why doesn't
Gaim listen
to the Jews? It means everybody else.
I'm trying to take this Targum Yonasim and Uzziel, and once you put those words into the Pasuk, according to Targum Yonasim and Uzziel, the entire Pasuk has new meaning. Everything changed. The dynamics of everything that's happening here takes on new meaning. Okay, let's go to another idea. Comes Kriyas Yamsuf, Paro sends out 600 royal chariots. Question is, where did Paro get the horses from? When you go out to a chariot, Rechav Bochor. So why should we assume that Paro did not have any chariot, any horses? Because they were all killed in the Makkah of Barad. Dever and Barad wiped out wiped out all the horses, wiped out all the remaining livestock. So the answer is, so the Medrash says that whose horses did the Paro use to chase after Klal Yisrael? The people who took their horses and their animals indoors in order to protect themselves from Moshe's warning that's going to be borrowed. Now, with that idea, I think it opens up for us, opens up a degree of insight in to the Makkah of Barat. One of the very big debates and questions in the Gears of Rashi, Barat, when Moshe predicts there will be the Makkah of Barat, he used the word, I'm going to send against you as kol magefosai el libecha. I'm going to send with Barat all of my magefos to your heart. Let me read the words at the very end of Parshas of Va'era. Okay, let's go to the end of Parashas Va'era. Odecha b'yom Hashem Moshe Hashkem Voke ki ata shalachti yasiyotcha v'ulam avuzem aticha. Where is how it starts? Ki b'pam hazos and the Parashas Va'era ani shalach es kol magifosai el libucha uva avodecha uvi amecha b'avurtida ki ein from b'chol aretz. Okay. Then it goes on to say, "Hayorei es devar Hashem." Those who feared Hashem, me'avde paro heinis es avodav v'yes megdeim elabotim v'asher lois sam libo el devar Hashem v'yazov es avodav v'yes megdeim basode. Two groups of Egyptians. There were the Egyptians that were yorei Hashem, who feared Hashem, and there were the Egyptians who did not fear Hashem. Those who feared Hashem brought their animals indoors to protect them from the hail, and those who did not left them outdoors and they were killed. The Egyptians who feared Hashem their horses survived. But now, when it came to Makas, came to Kriyas Yamsuf, all of a sudden they're no longer Yari Hashem. Didn't they learn their lesson?
Well, the Erev Rav and they went.
But what about the animals? What about the animals? Where did they get animals to chase 600 chariots to chase after Klal Yisrael? Where did they get horses?
Paro had control over his people. He told the Eden go, and all the Erev Rav wanted.
But Paro had no horses.
Take their possessions.
Where did Paro get horses from?
The Erev Rav.
No, not the Erev Rav. He got the horses from the Yoreh Hashem.
Right.
But if they are Yoreh Hashem, right, what are they doing surrendering their horses to kill Klal Yisrael? Teretz is, they're not really. So this is the point we want to make. This question we just answered completely breaks open wide many psukim in parsha, or many questions in parsha in parshas Barat, in the parsha of Barat, because even though they fooled themselves into thinking at the moment that Yorei Hashem, Hashem wanted to show them he's not really Yorei Hashem, and that in a sense is the worst thing, is a very great tsar. In other words, when a person lives his whole life thinking that he's a tzaddik, and then the bubble is shattered, you live a lie, and then you can fool yourself in thinking that it's not a lie, and when the lie is uncovered, that pain and that recognition is the worst possible tsar a person can experience in his life. Now let me explain what I mean. Over here, in the beginning of Makas Bar, Hashem says, "Ki ba'pam hazo," I'm going to send kol magefosai libcha. And Rashi says, from here we learn, lamadnu mikan, that the girsa here is, in the Rashi, in the article Chumash is, Makas b'choyos, shekulo k'neged kol hamakos. So everyone has to question, what does it mean, kol mag, from here we learn that Makas b'choyos? Of the firstborn, this equal k'neged kol hamakos, we're not discussing here in Parashas Ve'era Makas B'choros. In Parashas Ve'era, when this pasuk is written, we're discussing Borod. So in the art scroll, Lamadnu mikan shlech es kol magefosai. Lamadnu mikan shemakas b'choros shkulo k'neged kol hamakos. Doesn't make any sense. So because of this reason, so you have to say, let me see what it says over here in the Tzifsecha, the Tzifsecham, Ois Nun, he says, Ein lefarish makas habecharim mamish, right? So he asked the obvious kasha, according to the Girsa, can't mean makas habecharim mamish, the imkein ma bole ashminin kan, that's not the subject of the matter, the subject matter. Ela perish rabbeinu tam me orleans ki habez nikre bechirik v'achof bedogesh. Don't read it bechoros, read it bikurois. Not bechoros, bikuros, perish, miloshon bikurim, the first fruits. From here we learn that the grain that has grown, the early grain that was destroyed by Barbara, the grain that was soft, that was still on the surface of the earth, was not destroyed. Ki habarad leiloka ela hatzvua arba shebikra ubishlo kol tzarcha ki desiv ki hasa'ira aviv. The sa'ir was in full blossom. V'apishta givo, but the flax was young. Ki the preacher shebikra. Okay, so it basically comes to miyashiv that don't read it b'choros, read it bikuros. Because if you say b'choros, it doesn't make any sense here. And indeed, there are some that say there's a different gear, so it's not makas b'choros, it's makas b'tzadi. There's a printer's error, makas b'tzeros. It's lebedik. All the mefarshim are trying to, what in the world is going on over in this Rashi? Kolibcha b'choros, b'kuros, b'tzeros. What's going on? But the truth is, there's no kasha. Because makas borod was the setup for makas b'choros. Makas borod and makas b'choros are two halves of one coin. Makas b'choros was an opportunity for the Egyptians to show that they are Yishmaim. We fear you, Hashem. We have respect for you. We have respect for you. What are you telling us? What are you punishing us? And like, you know, what are you punishing us and telling us that you're not God-fearing, you're evil people? We're good people. We have respect for you. We'll show you that we fear you. We're going to listen. We're going to take our animals. We have faith that this bar will come down and it's going to kill all the animals. So we're going to show our sign of respect. We're going to take the animals indoors. And then what did they do with the animals they took indoors? What did they do with those animals they took indoors? They took it and they used it to chase them in response for what? For Makas Mechoros. Kriyas Yamsov, pursuing the Jewish people was the response to Makas Mechoros. Makas, all their firstborns were dead. And it took them time, get out of here. Just get out of here. You killed all firstborns. And then when they realized that Sarah, when it got to them, we're not going to take the sitting down. They're going to go kill our firstborns. We're going to kill them. We're going to pursue them. So Makas Borod was really the setup to test them for Makas Bechoros. Because Makas Bechoros, their firstborns were killed. How were they going to react to Makas Bechoros? Animals that we save through Yirah Shemayim from Makas Bechoros, we're going to use our Yirah Shemayim to kill you. To kill you in revenge from Makas Bechoros.
Since Hashem's Yirah Shemayim,
the
ministers of Paro wanted to cover their track. So they decided, what do we know? We know the Jews are stronger than our magicians. We'll hide our animals. Because nothing could...
Exactly.
We have hero.
Exactly. So the truth is that... So Mikanu, if you take Rashi very literally, it's not a kasha. You can use this idea. This medrash tells us that the horses came from the Yerush Shemayim. So Borod was the time that they set themselves up to have horses in order to have the final makev patish of Makas Bechoros. Makas Bechoros, the death of the firstborns, which resulted in revenge, in killing the whole Klal Yisrael, and that resulted in them taking all of the horses, which resulted in the Egyptians being wiped out. Not only were the firstborns wiped out, everyone was wiped out. So Mikan in Echnami, from here we learn, this was the Haschol of Makas Bechoros. Es kol magev osai. Here is where Makas Bechoros begins with Makas Borod. And furthermore, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say in this Makas Borod? Hashem says to them, Borod comes down, Hatiru el Hashem, Paro cries, cry to Hashem, V'rav miyois kolos elokim ubor v'ashalucha eschem v'lo sivun la'amod, V'yem elav Moshe, kitzeis yesu'ir, efros, eskapay el Hashem, v'chulu. And then Moshe says this pasuk, which is really out of place. It's unnecessary. But now that we know the secret, it is necessary. V'ato yu paro v'avodecha yodati. Oh, you think you're tzaddikim. You put your animals indoors. Yodati. Ki terem tiru'un mipnei Hashem elokim. You don't fear Hashem. You have not even begun to fear Hashem. And this act act of righteousness of hiding your animals because of the bar as an expression, Hayore Devar Hashem Hainis, it's a bunch of baloney. You know, I know it's a bunch of baloney because the product of your Yirah Shemayim you're going to use as a tool to kill the whole Klal Yisrael. So it goes to show, I know that it's all make-believe, that it's not a true Yirah Shemayim. So it really makes a lot of sense. This Menesh opens up why this whole idea. We have a whole new appreciation of the Rashi. Makas Bechoros is connected to Kol HaMaklis, indeed, because Makas Bechoros begins with Makas Barad. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the Egyptians for failure. I once heard a Mechanech say, talk about Chinuch. He was so eloquent. It was delicious to listen to this. He's such a vocabulary, such a koyach adibar. And he's talked about situations where we're setting up the child for failure. You're setting him up to fail. You do this and this and this to a child, you're setting him up for failure. And we're saying a chaval. Over here in Bakas Barad, it's exactly what's happening. Hashem is setting up the Egyptians to fail because they deserve it. Because they were shoyim, they enslaved us. They caused Klal Yisrael tzar, and the male borrowed is the haschola of the Gemara of Paro Kol Magif Otsai Ki Terem Tirun Me Hashem Elokim. Okay, it's not a true Yirah Shemayim. Now, furthermore, it gives us a greater appreciation of why the entire Kriyas Yamsev is all tied to Yirah Shemayim. What was the when they saw Vayar Yisrael Sayyar Hagadol Ashuas Hashem Bimshayim Vayi Reu Ha'omes Hashem Vayaminu BaHashem of Moshe Avda? Why is the climax of Kriyas Yamsev Yirah Shemayim? Why? Because Klal Yisrael, when you something is only appreciated in contrast to what it's not. When you have a fake Yirah Shemayim, that can be a tool to recognize a true Yirah Shemayim. When you just have one item, you have to ask a split test. Okay, I used to work in marketing. Marketing, everything is about split tests. Split testing, you have advertisements. If you have two advertisements, one of them is going to do better no matter what. You always have to have two advertisements. You have to be able to track. And in the old-fashioned world, you don't know. You put up a billboard of a Marlboro man smoking a cigarette. If he smokes it with this hand, is it more attractive than smoking it with this hand? You have no way of knowing. You put up the Marlboro man, if he wears the one kind of hat, he bends it down like Yeshiva Ball. You sell more cigarettes. You don't know. It's a billboard right on the highway. But on the internet, so you put up a picture of the Marlboro man, and you put him up with a Shiv Shahad and with a cowboy hat, and you can see which one gets more clicks, which one translates into more conversions. You do split testing, you right away can see what's better. Contrast. Klal Yisrael was able now, through witnessing false Yirah Shemayim, to appreciate true Yirah Shemayim. The whole sequence of events of Kriyas Yamsev was through the horse, the Rikhle Paro. They used everything that they say through Hayori Devar Hashem, Heinis Zavodav, and they use the Yirah Shemayim as a tool to kill Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, a bunch of balonis, a bunch of fakers. You want to know what Yirah Shemayim is? We know what Yirah Shemayim is. Vayiru Omes Hashem, Vayaminu BaHashem Moshe Avdo, our Yirah turned into Emunah. The Emunah is a response to the false type of Yirah Shemayim that was shown by the Egyptians. Okay. Let's go to another quick idea. Okay, a little short idea, running out of time. And I saw this idea, a very, very interesting idea, beautiful idea from Rabbi Shane. Rabbi Shane is a Rashiva in Tshiva, Staten Island. His name is Sefer, it's called Birchas, and she has a brilliant idea. In the Kriyas Yamsev, it says, Oznif Halu, when the whole world heard about what happened by Kriyas Yamsev, it says, Oznif Halu Alufi Edom. Two nations. For whatever reason, the Pasuk focuses on Edom and Moab. Edom is described in the state of a Bahola. Oz nifhalu alufei Edom. They were bewildered. Bahola. And when Moab wasn't in the state of Bahola, they were terrified. Oz nifhalu aluf ele Moab yochazemo. Ro'at, terror. They have two very different types of reactions. Someone sees something, there's an attack, there's something that's very disturbing in the news. How do you react? Some people are terrified. They're terrified it's going to happen to them. but they have presence of mind. They are focused. Okay, I got to prepare. I have to buy an emergency kit. I got to have a bunker ready. I have to have an escape plan. They feel terror, but they have a presence of their mind is focused. And then there are people who are not really afraid. They're shaitan. They're not really afraid. I'm not really afraid. So whatever will happen, but I'm just confused. What do I do now? I'm bewildered. Do I do this? Do I that? Where should I go? Do I really care? Do I sit there? I don't sit there, but I'm bewildered. It's a very different type of reaction. I feel that I have both. Unfortunately, some people have both. They're very bewildered. They don't know what to do. They're totally helpless, and they're also terrified. But here we have two different types of reactions. To Edom, they were bewildered, and Moab was terrorized. So Rav Shane says, you know why we use these expressions? It's a brilliant idea. Because that's the nature of these two nations. Edom comes from Esav. Esav comes home from from trapping tzaddik. He hears that his grandfather, Avraham Avinu, has died. Now, when you hear someone, a great tzaddik, dies, how do you react? How do you react? Do you react in a state of Bahola? Or do you act in a state of Pachat? What am I going to do now? Avraham Avinu, the purpose of this world has died. Esav wasn't in a state of Pachat. Couldn't care less. He was in a state of Bahola. Bahola means I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I have the Bechorah. The Bechorah is priceless. It's priceless. I don't care. I'm tired. I'm priceless. According to what he's saying, Rashen is adding a little bit more to the parish. And this is not the only source for this meat of Bahola. I don't remember all the details. Is that the fact that Avraham Avinu died on that day contributed, just like my grandfather died, Avraham died, I'm also going to die. What do I need this for? So how did Esav react to the death? Of death? Bahala. I took something that's priceless, and I gave it away for nothing, for a pot of porridge. I gave it away for nothing. No pachat whatsoever, no shame whatsoever. Haliteni nam nodem azeh. Bahala. And maybe we understand the Enochloch, Edom, when they are in a matzav of terror, they see Kriyas Yamsuf, they're not afraid. They don't come kill us, so we'll also die. Eat and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. But it does create among them an unsettling feeling of Bahala, and they do irrational things in Bahala. Who is Moab? Moab is a descendant of Lot. Lot, when Sodom is destroyed, what does he tell the Malachim? He's very, very, very focused. I'm not going to Tzoar, because Tzoar, he makes a cheshbon. What? I'm not. It's too close. First, I'm not going to do this. Everything was a cheshbon. Every step of the way, we have to go to Lipsi. He goes to Lipsi. Everything Lot does was an incredible cheshbon. Here, his life is in danger. He's about to be done. The whole Sodom is blowing up. He's making cheshbonos to do this. He's very focused, but he's terrified. He says, I can't go to Tzoar, I'm afraid. He writes the pasuk, I don't remember the exact pasuk, but it says that it'll also be destroyed. The same way this city, I'm making a calculation, it'll also be destroyed. But he made a calculation. Lot, we never find Lot being in a state of Bahala, but we do find Lot in a state of being afraid. He was afraid, Imolto, I'm going to escape to this place. I can't remember the place. I have to go back to the Pesukim, and you'll see that Lot was, it says explicitly in the part that he was afraid. That is why his descendants, we use the same expression, Oz Nefhalu Alufi. Edom was Nefhalu, and Moab was Yochazemo Rod. It all comes back. We learned today in the Mishlei that from the Malolov of the child, you can learn about what's going to be in the future. The genes, they go down to the next generation. Okay, let me conclude with one Vart. This Vart is one of my favorite Veruloch from Parshas Bashira. We feed the birds. Okay, we feed the birds on Shabbos Shira. Why do we feed the birds in Shabbos? Are you allowed to feed the birds? The Shulchan Aruch says you're only allowed to feed the birds, only allowed to feed a creature that you're responsible for. You're not allowed to feed a creature that you're not responsible for on Shabbos. So therefore, to actually feed a pigeon, to feed birds of Hefker on Shabbos, is not so simple. Some say you're doing it to preserve a minog in order to give reward to the birds, so it's not, this is an exception to the rule. So technically, it might not necessarily be also to feed the birds mamish on Shabbos. We don't really accept that. If you want to feed the birds, the minog is to put the food out before Shabbos. You put the food out before Shabbos, so you're not feeding the birds of Hefker on Shabbos. Why don't we feed the birds? So there are different reasons. The common reason is because none of the view, they put out the mun on Shabbos. They put the mun out on Shabbos in order to cause Moshe trouble, and the birds came to the rescue, and they ate up the mun in order to preserve the dignity, the honor of Moshe. And therefore, we reward the birds. That's one reason. Another reason is because birds sing. They are the kings of song. It's Shabbos Shira, and you have to give credit where credit is due. The birds chirp, they sing, so we give honor to, they have the koyach of shir, we give honor to the birds. Another reason is because in the shir there's a lot of airspace. It's written, Oliach Agabi Levena, there's avir. Who lives in the air? The birds. The birds live in the avir. In order to draw our attention to the avir, we focus on the birds. There are a lot of reasons, the Kabbalistic reasons, 100 reasons why the birds get all the attention this way. But I wanted to give an additional reason, Laderech Drush. What does it say in the Bris Bein Absarim? Hashem says to Avraham Avinu, Yodoya Teda, Ki Ger Yezarecha, B'yeretz Lo Elohim, V'avod Avinu Yosem Abba Me'ashana. And that, those words were accompanied by a Bris Bein Absarim. And the Bris Bein Absarim was where Hashem told Avraham Avinu, you should take an ayil, a par, and what was the third thing? Afkar, animals, whole bunch of animals, whatever they were. And Hashem told them to take the animals and split them, to cut them down the middle. Very bizarre thing. That's how things were done. Down the middle. And then a pillar of fire passed between the parts. And this was a way of a Kadosh Baruch Hu forging a covenant with Avraham Avinu that I'm going to guarantee that the Achrei Chen Yeitzu Baruch Hush Gadol, there'll be a Shibud Mitzrayim for 400 years. But part of the Bris Ben Absarim is V'yeshat Sipar Loi Vosar, that Sipar was not split. And Rashi on the Pasuk says, what's the significance of the par and the soyer and all the various animals? They represent the umo sa'olam. They will be cut. They will come to an end. They will be destroyed. But v'yeshat Sipar, that Sipar is Klal Yisrael. The Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The Tzipor lo yibasar will never be cut. What represents the symbol of Klal Yisrael will prevail. And this was used as a symbol at the time of the Bris Ben Absarim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'achrei chen yeitzu berechush gadol. Here, this week's parashas Shabbos Shira is the Zman of the Haftacha, the fulfillment of what Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, V'achrei chen arba me'ashana you'll serve, and but then you're going to go free, V'achrei chen yeitzu berechush gadol, and in Mela we focus on the Tzipor, V'yes Hatzipor. Par loy basar, that will remain the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. And in order to draw our attention to that Tzipor of Avraham Avinu, not the Tzipor that chirped in the Kriyas Yamzum, not the Tzipor of Dasan Vavim, but the Tzipor of Avraham Avinu of the Bris Ben Absarim, that's who we're drawing our attention towards by giving that Tzipor something to eat to make it also a little happy on Shabbos. Have a wonderful Shabbos Shira. Thank you.